thank our brother for his kind words of welcome. We do appreciate being invited to come along, take part in this 50th anniversary weekend, your Harvest Thanksgiving. We have enjoyed the service thus far. We trust it's not all downhill from here. The singing has been wonderful. We'll have to look to the Lord for his help. And of course, we have appreciated the congregation bringing Epi and Kyle and Abai home for this little time. It's lovely to see them. Skype's wonderful these days, but you can't give a hug over Skype. Not yet anyhow. Don't know if they'll ever get round to fixing that. We have to say, certainly, it was a very special occasion in my own life when I first began to attend the church in the old building. I remember we'd been attending the Martyrs Memorial. I saw the report then in the Ulster Star of the opening of the old building, and I asked my father, "Will you come with me and we'll go up to Ballymacash?" And then after that, the next greatest moment in my life was getting to the prayer meeting in the old wooden hall, and everything changed then, getting to the place of prayer. And I've always said it, get to the place of prayer and pray. There you'll meet with the Lord, and there things will begin to happen. We're going to turn to God's Word in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 14. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, and we'll read just 10 verses starting at verse 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, commencing at the 8th verse. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, and the 8th verse. "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on my feet.' And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and saying in the speech of Laconia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Juniper, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands onto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his own word. We want to draw your attention particularly to verse 17. "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We delight in thy word. We thank thee for it. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth. And Lord, we rejoice in remembrance of every occasion in which thou hast spoken to our hearts with power and authority. And we have known it is the Lord. We thank thee, our God, for when you called us to Christ. We thank thee how thou hast directed our paths. We rejoice in thy speaking word. Lord, speak afresh to us tonight. Speak to each one of us. Lord, speak to those of us who know Christ as Savior. Lord, speak to those who are strangers to grace and to God. And Lord, we ask all this, that thy name may be glorified and Christ exalted. Amen. One of the greatest privileges that we have in this world is to have the scriptures of truth in our own tongue, and we should never take it for granted. We thank God for his mercy in giving to our nation and to our people the Scriptures of truth. We thank God for those who have ever brought the Word of God to us, even as children and children's meeting, or in Sunday school and right through our lives. What a privilege it is to have had the Word of God brought to us and to know God speak to us through His Word. What a privilege to know God speak to us through His Word. Some individual stands before us, the Word of God is read, it is explained, it is applied, and we know in our heart something happened, and it is God speaking to us of His Son, speaking to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a theme I come to again and again, that God is not a silent God. He is a speaking God. He is a God who in grace and mercy has revealed Himself. As I've said, I believe that is one of the greatest privileges and blessings that we can ever have, to know that we have a God who speaks to us. God, our God, the Lord, is not like the false gods to whom the prophets of Baal cried in the days of Elijah. The prophets and priests of Baal went so far as to cut themselves, but there was no answer. There was nothing but silence, but not so the Lord God, Jehovah. He is a God who speaks to us. We can say furthermore, a silent God, the God who has nothing to say to us, is a terrible thing. We think of the psalmist who says in Psalm 28 verse 1, "Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." When God stops speaking to you, you're in the greatest trouble that you can be in. If God has nothing more to say to you, then what hope is there for you? Jonathan Edwards, the great theologian of America, said, "God's silence is hell to the Christian." If there's that time where it seems that for a period, for a short time, the Lord is silent to us, that is the most awful thing we can go through, when God is not speaking to us. And when God finally is silent to a person, when God has nothing more to say, then they're in trouble indeed. We think of how Christ appeared before Herod, and he answered him not a word. He had nothing to say to Herod, the man who had closed the mouth of John the Baptist. His day was gone and past, and Christ had nothing to say to him. Or to go back further into the Old Testament, we think of King Saul and his complaint when he said, "God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams." It is a terrible thing when God no longer speaks to a man or woman. And if you come to these meetings and God speaks to your heart, then you can rejoice in that mercy. If you're here tonight and you're unconverted and the Word of God troubles your heart and has been troubling your heart, what a mercy that is, that God is still speaking to you. You're still in that day of grace. What a privilege. What a blessing. What a mercy it is when God, when Christ speaks to us by His Spirit through His Word. We thank God for speaking to us even when there have been those occasions when we have not been all that we have ought to be. The Lord has still spoken to us and drawn us back to Himself. What a mercy that God speaks. And in the text we've read to you, we see the fact that God is a speaking God referred to yet again. For it tells us in verse 17, speaking of the Lord and His dealing with the nations, "Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." These people to whom the apostles are preaching are ungodly, heathen, pagan people. And yet we have it indicated to us that God had also been speaking to them as to this lost world. It says that the Lord left Himself not without a witness. And what witness was that? It's the witness we have demonstrated around us. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. I trust that you in truth thank God for what we have to enjoy of food for our bodies. Because are we not conscious that it's all too easy for us, the world we live, to just take it all for granted? We just take all God's goodness for granted, and we forget those who have not been as blessed as we have. And so it's useful and important for us to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me, even in the material things and food for my body. And many there are even of Christians. They will sit down at the table and they will never stop to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. It's a mercy from God. It's a mercy and it is a witness. God speaks to us. It says he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. It's a witness from the Lord. So as we look around us tonight and we see the various items on display, they remind us of God's bounty to us in the harvest and how in this God speaks to us. There is a witness to us. Now let me mention some things about this witness. We can say first of all that the witness of God in the harvest is an inescapable witness. It's an inescapable witness. Now, you've undoubtedly heard it explained before that there are two ways in which God speaks to this lost world. There's what we call special revelation. But that we're referring to the scriptures of truth. God has spoken by his servants, the prophets, by the apostles. That's what we have in the word. And the scripture speaks to us. And speaks to us in a very important and particular way. And reveal to us things that we cannot find out but ourselves. Here the word of God identifies our problems, our sin. And the consequences, the awful consequences of being sinners and offending God. And yet it also points us to a Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it calls us to turn from our sin and repentance and to rest on Christ and to rest on his atoning work. That's God's special revelation. But God also speaks by what we call general revelation. General revelation. In other words, in his great works of creation and providence. Now, very clearly, this is different from what we have in Scripture. Very different from what we have in the Word of God. But nevertheless, it is important. And on this particular occasion, the Apostle Paul refers to it and shows its importance. The method of revelation is different. It's the same God who is speaking. It's important because we know that there have been long ages when perhaps the Bible has been a hidden book to many. There have been many places where for long centuries they never had the Word of God in their own language. And yet, even in such places, God has spoken. And it is to this that the Apostle is referring as he preaches to these people in Lystra. They didn't have access to the Scriptures as the Jews had had access. And yet, he says, God still spoke to them. And Paul points them to the fruitful seasons. Every time they've looked at a good harvest, God has been speaking to them. And you know, he speaks to us also in these things. We remember how the psalmist in Psalm 19 speaks about revelation. And in Psalm 19, he begins by speaking of general revelation and then goes on to speak of the scriptures. We remember how we're told there, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language there where their voice is not heard. God speaks to this world, even in creation around us. I think David must have penned those words with at least before his mind the scenes that had unfolded before him on many occasions, maybe on a hillside, looking after sheep. And he sees the heavens at the night time. Sees them in all their glory. Or in the daytime looks around him at the wonders of creation. And he sees God speaking in these things also. And it's inescapable, this revelation. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And it is continuous. It's day and night. I remember quite a few years ago now, when the children were all small, I took up an interest in astronomy. Now, not astrology, that's very, very different, astronomy. In fact, I purchased a small telescope and then a big, big telescope. Sometimes, it usually was a very cold night, I would haul this thing outside the manse in Bangor, and I would take a look at the night sky and some of the wonders that are to be seen there. And of course, that time passed, but since that time I've often looked at the night sky, walking home maybe from the prayer meeting in Money's Lane, and recognising the various constellations and looking in particular directions at what the astronomers will call deep sky objects, things that are just amazing. You know, you look across the night sky, you see a band of stars. They can be quite fuzzy. And that's why the people of old called it the Milky Way. It looked like spilt milk. And really what's happening there, we're told, is we're looking into our own galaxy, the centre of our galaxy, which is a giant spinning top. And the sun is just one star among many, many millions of stars. And that galaxy, I'm told, is about 100,000 light years across. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And if it travels for 100,000 years, it's traveled across our galaxy. 100,000 years. That's the length of time it would take to travel from one side of the galaxy to the other. And the next door galaxy is Andromeda, in the constellation of Andromeda. It's 2 million light years away. And light would have to travel for 2 million years to reach there. And they're just the next door neighbours. And my heart was thrilled by the thought that I knew the one who made it all. He's my God and his Son is my Saviour. He loved me and he sent his Son to die for me. The wonder of it all. What a thrill it is. You think of the words of the hymn. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder. Thy power through all the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. That's just thinking of the night sky. Look around at the wonders of the world. You know, when I move from Bangor, from the town to Money's Lane, and go out to the spring day and drive out, do some visits, and you look at the wonder of the countryside. What beauty. In days when I had better health, I would often go for a walk up through the moors. Sometimes just sit at the side of the brandy pad or somewhere like that and look around and say, what mind conceived all this beauty? Where did this come from? What mind conceived it first of all? The Lord conceived it all. What a wonder, what glory. And God speaks to us in these things, of his power, of his wisdom, of his glory, the wonders of creation. And day by day he provides for us our daily bread. The one, in other words, who took the loaves and fishes and multiplied them in an instant, does the same thing for us in a more regular way to provide for us all that we have in creation. And in all of this, God has left a witness. In all of this, God has spoken. He speaks to this world. Even if you have shamefully never opened your Bible, God's been speaking to you. Every time you've looked up at a night sky, every time you've looked at a flower, every time you've enjoyed the fruits of harvest, God's been speaking to you. Let me ask, have you listened to what the Lord has been saying to you? Have you listened to it when the Lord has spoken to you yet more clearly in his word? God is a God who speaks, who's been speaking to you. Think of his God in mercy has been speaking to you. You may think yourself important or unimportant. Most of us think of ourselves as fairly insignificant. But what a thrill, what a joy that the great God of creation, the great God of heaven and earth, the great creator of it all, that he speaks to us and he reveals to us his love and mercy toward us in Christ. Let me ask you, have you responded to a speaking voice? Think of it. He has spoken to you. Have you responded to that speaking voice? Have you sought him? Have you sought salvation through Christ? Because remember, it's a witness you can't escape from. You can't say, I have had no witness. No one's ever spoken to me. Not even in this part of the world, we can't say that. God speaks to us in creation. God has spoken to us in his word. What a thrill. We can say this furthermore, that God's witness in the harvest is an undeserved witness. You know that text, verse 17 of chapter 14 says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. Why the nevertheless? Because God had left this witness in spite of the behavior of those to whom he was speaking the previous verse. Verses tell us of their vanities. They had attempted to worship Paul and Barnabas as gods, as representations of their gods. And the apostle said, you should turn from these vanities unto the living God who made heaven and earth, and the sea and all these things that are therein. And then it says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness. These people had turned to their own ways, like all of us. Turned away from the ways of the Lord. Nevertheless, God had bestowed upon them so much good. You may think you have many complaints against the Lord. Sometimes people can be like that. But I tell you this, God's been good to you, much better than you've deserved. Your God was to reveal to me even part of your sins, and I had listed them to read out here. It might be highly embarrassing. You might go out that door, never show your face again, if God was to reveal the contents of your heart and your mind. Yet God has been gracious to you, and God has bestowed upon you much good. And oftentimes, people do not recognize this, you know. In the prophecy of Hosea in the Old Testament, there's an interesting thing set before us. Hosea had been told by the Lord to marry a particular woman. She deserted him and then began to run around with others. And yet the prophet was to be good to her, and he endeavored to bring her back to himself, helped her in many ways. When she was in need, he supplied her need. But of course, that was an illustration of how Israel had forsaken the Lord. Yet God had been gracious. Hosea shows us that in spite of God being good to Israel when she was wayward, Israel had thought she was doing well because of her false gods. They were attributing what their material well-being to their false gods, and give the praise to all their good things to their new false gods. You have to see them today. God bestows much good on people who have no time for him. He does this even when they no longer listen to him speaking in his word in the scriptures. Instead of recognizing God's goodness to them, they attribute their well-being to other causes. It may well be that someone who is in farming does very well, and they attribute their success to their own hard work and good fortune. Others maybe do well in their studies, and they attribute their success to their own brain power and application to study. And they forget that it's God who gives them the life and sufficient health to be able to do those things. They forget there's a God who has enabled them to do well. And there are many others in the world who work just as hard as they have done and are in poverty. Oh, you would see the truth of the matter. Is there someone here, and you like to come to a harvest service? There's something special about that. And then the anniversary services. And yet perhaps largely you've forgotten the Lord. He has no right or proper place in your life. And yet he's been good to you. He's blessed you. Think of it. You've sought to put him away and live for the world and live for sin, and he's blessed you with many good things. Will you recognize even this, his grace toward you? Or do not make the mistake of thinking it's all been down to your hard work. It's been the grace of God. And let me remind you of this. The God who has blessed you can take it away. The God who has blessed you in these things can take it away. If we can refer back to Hosea in the Old Testament, among the minor prophets, in chapter 2, verse 8, the Lord says, "Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax." God can take from you what he's given to you. God can take away from you your prosperity. God could take away your health and strength. God could put you on your back in a hospital bed. And then say, "Will you listen to me?" Let me ask you, what must God do in your particular case before you listen to him? He has been gracious to you. He has borne with you. How patient the Lord is with all of us. How patient, how full of long-suffering he is. I'm conscious of this with myself. Never mind anybody else. Are you conscious of how patient God has been with you and has borne with you? And what has been your response to him? I implore you. Oh, turn to him. Turn to him and remember that the prodigal, remember how he came to himself. And he began to make his way down that road. Remember the reception he received. That the father sees him coming and he runs to meet him. Throws his arms around him and weeps upon his neck. Oh, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek him now. Is he speaking to you even now? Is there someone here this evening and the Lord has been speaking to you? He's been speaking to you maybe this morning or last evening or before that. Maybe the Lord's been dealing with you for a period of time. Oh, what a mercy. And what a calamity. If God was never to speak to you again. And to say of you, "That man, that woman, I have nothing more to say to them. Never to trouble you again." I tell you this. If that ever happens to you, you're as sure of hell as if you were there. If that comes about, that God has nothing more to say to you, and you cross that line, you're as sure of hell as if you were there. If God says, "I have nothing more to say." Remember how Saul, King Saul, he turned to the witch at Endor looking for some light, some hope. Didn't get any hope there. What are you going to do? Then, thirdly, I want you to see that God's witness in the harvest leaves us inexcusable. Inexcusable. Our text reminds us, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And to that we can add Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Without excuse. There is enough, even in general revelation, never mind the word of God, to leave us without excuse. God has shown to us in creation something of his being, his great wisdom, his power, his intelligence, his goodness toward us. He speaks to us by our conscience as well as by the word of God. "I am a fallen sinner. This is a fallen world, rebellious world, and yet God has been good to us. God has blessed us. God has given to us sufficient light to leave us without excuse." God has been good to us. You know, sometimes people have a problem with the bad things that happen in this world. I don't have a problem with the bad things. My problem is almost with the good things. As I look around this world, I sometimes have to ask myself, why do we have any good at all? One of my ways of relaxation is to read history. But you know, it's the story of wickedness, wrong, unbelievable cruelty. We think of the barbarous wickedness of the Nazis and the slaughter of the Jews and others, of the dreadful wickedness of Stalin, of the death called by Mao. We think of what happened in Cambodia. We think of what has happened across this world. We think of the vile sin into which people sink and their awful open blasphemy against God. You know, thinking just in my own head, I've sometimes wondered when I've read of these things, you know, is it not a wonder that God doesn't just tip the whole of humanity into hell? Because of the awful wickedness of this world. We see it around us and see it's stamped with the approval of governments today. Those things that are obnoxious to God. It's a wonder, isn't it? It's a wonder that God doesn't just write us off, but God is gracious. And here we are, we have another harvest. We're blessed greatly. Tokens of His goodness. How many harvests have you enjoyed? Maybe you can remember harvests going back over the years. And yet you're still in your sin. And you're still in the body. And God's been patient with you. I'm glad that these things lie in the hand of the Lord, not in my hands. And not in your hands either, because you know, sometimes I can be a wee bit impatient. I know other people can be impatient. I'm afraid, but if it was in my hands, there'd be some people who wouldn't be around today. I'm glad it's not in my hands. Because I'm just a sinner saved by grace. God's been good. God's been gracious. And the question is, how should we have responded to God's goodness and God's witness in the harvest? Well, in Acts 17, verse 27, another place, another time of preaching, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Preaching at Athens, this was the message. Even from the limited witness of creation, you ought to have sought the Lord. You ought to have used the light that you do have. And you have the assurance that God's not far from every one of us. Let me ask you, have you done this? Have you sought the Lord? And then remember, in this province, we haven't just got general revelation, we have the Word of God. What a privilege this province has known. Across the face of the earth, there are a few places that have been blessed as much. The Word of God has been preached in many of our churches for hundreds of years. Mission halls, proclaimed in street corners, handed out by gospel tracts in their hundreds of thousands. You'll find the gospel pinned to boards and trees and fences. And that's been the way for years. I always remember my late father telling me that when he was a lad, and they lived between Saintfield and Ballinahinch, his mother would take him out at night. And they'd go out one night and get a big rock near to the road and they would tar it. The other night they'd go back then and they'd paint up a gospel text on that dark background. That's back in the 1920s. That's 100 years ago almost. That's the heritage of this province has. That you have. So let me ask you, have you sought the Lord? Because you're without excuse. And you know, it's going to be worse for you because of this. It's worse for you. There's places in this world where they've had very little gospel light, perhaps no gospel light. And it's going to be worse for you. Going to be worse for the man or woman or young person who dies and goes to hell from Lisburn. And from some of those countries that we feel for. How dreadful. The Lord still speaks tonight. And He says to you, I trust you hear Him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you hear him speaking to you? Do you hear his voice? Do you know his touch in your heart? Perhaps you're living on the very brink of eternity and you don't know it. Maybe on the very brink of hell. And God in his mercy is speaking to you at the 11th hour. Oh, make this anniversary week, this harvest week, then one you'll never forget. By responding to the Lord's speaking voice. Come to Christ. Come tonight. Come just now. May the Lord help you.